Welcome to the Tech Policy Podcast. I'm Evan Schwartzschauer. On today's show, Airbnb is in a bitter battle with New York, as the Empire State recently passed a bill banning platforms from advertising whole apartments for rent if it's for fewer than 30 days, if the host is not present. This most notably affects Airbnb, but there are other websites like HomeAway, and of course, any platform that allows you to advertise a short-term rental would be affected by this. This follows up on a 2010 law that banned the actual act of renting, but this law now ups the ante and bans the advertising itself, which poses concerns for free speech, among others. Joining me to discuss this is Jared Meyer, research fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He usually appears on this podcast to talk about Uber, but it seems like anything involving the sharing economy, Jared has an opinion about. So Jared, thanks for joining the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Evan.
So, Jared, what the hell is going on in New York? I mentioned briefly what the law does, but can you elaborate a little bit more on what we're talking about? This is a bill that was on the governor's desk, Governor Cuomo, for a long time, and he finally passed it or signed it at the last possible time that he was allowed to sign bills that were kind of just lingering.
Yeah, what this is New York just having a blatant giveaway to the hotel industry. If you look, this has been a push for a while now to limit Airbnb because New York's its most lucrative market in the United States. They've seen a lot of growth there because hotels are expensive. There's not that many of them. They tend to be in downtown or midtown where a lot of people don't want to stay. And as Airbnb grew in popularity, the hotels felt threatened and pushed this bill through. And now Cuomo just decided to prove that New York, contrary to its slogan that we're open for business, is closed for business when it comes to anything having to do with technology.
So when it comes to the enforcement problem, I mentioned the 2010 law, and that only banned the actual renting, so that would affect the host and or the renter. But now we're dealing with the platform as well, and we're dealing with advertising. So we're looking at fines of $7,500. Now, are those on the individuals involved? Are they also on the website? How does this work?
So they had to make some changes to the bill because of legal concerns, but now it's to the hosts themselves. It's not fining Airbnb, or at least they claim they're not going to fine Airbnb, VRBO, any of these other platforms. But what you're seeing is that the enforcement was very difficult. We don't want Gestapo-style raids on people's houses, making sure you're home when you're renting out your apartment for under 30 days. So what they're trying to do instead is look at the actual advertisement because they think enforcement will be easier. The 2010 law, it really was toothless because they didn't want to do the work to try to enforce it. So instead, they're moving to the new law instead.
So you mentioned the hotel lobby as being a big pusher of this. But of course, the argument that hotels are facing competition and we don't want them to have to compete, that's not what the supporters of the law have been arguing, of course, because that would be completely cynical if they just came out and said, I get money from the hotel industry, therefore I support this bill. What are the arguments that led to the passage of this bill? Because you haven't seen big laws restricting other types of behavior that involve the sharing economy necessarily at the statewide level. It seems like there's kind of a tall order to get a bill like this through. So what exactly was the justification?
Well, it's the same tired argument that was used in San Francisco last year when they were trying to limit Airbnb. I know Senator Feinstein actually wrote an op-ed in a San Francisco newspaper saying that Airbnb is solely to blame for high rents in the Bay Area. You're seeing the same argument being used in New York, where affordable housing advocates are, instead of looking at the decades of policy that has led to today's rent crisis, they're blaming it all on the new guy in town. Airbnb, you know, a company that launched in 2008, didn't really start growing rapidly till 3 years ago. They're saying that decades of high rents are because of Airbnb, and that's why this bill was needed.
Well, I grew up in New York, and I, of course, remember those wonderful times before 2008 when rent was really affordable, and, you know, people from all walks of life were able to live in whatever neighborhood they chose, and, you know, it was just so easy to get apartments. Housing was not a very cutthroat experience at all. Anyone moving to New York can tell you that before Airbnb came to town, it was really just this utopia of affordability and reasonableness. But then the internet came and ruined everything. I mean, is that an accurate portrayal of the housing market in New York?
It's not an accurate portrayal, but it is an accurate portrayal of the arguments that opponents of Airbnb are using. We see the hotel industry now coming out and talking about how concerned they are about housing affordability. I mean, hotels take possible rental units off the market. Why are they so concerned all of a sudden with this argument? It's because they finally found something that sticks, again, as you pointed out, saying, oh, Airbnb's hurting our profits, that's not going to win you many friends. But if you can try to tie in the very active in New York affordable housing community, all the groups that fight for it there, you can get a lot of success on the city level and the state level when it comes to policies.
But of course, the logic is not completely unsound. So, you know, follow me here. You've got a city like New York. Yes, it's heavily regulated. And yes, the government is heavily involved in housing. But there is this issue of supply and demand. And if you have apartments that otherwise would have been long-term rentals being turned into, quote, illegal hotels, this idea that basically there are apartments in New York City that are only being used for Airbnb. There are landlords who are basically running Airbnb mills out of their buildings. You've got people buying up property and then only renting it out, right? These are legitimate concerns. I mean, if you live in a city where there's scarcity of housing and scarcity drives up the cost. So let's dig into the numbers. Is that borne out in the data? Is Airbnb contributing to a shrinking of the available long-term housing supply?
You could say it's contributing if you count taking off 0.1% of available long-term housing as contributing, but that's what Airbnb is doing. If you look at the numbers before the bill went into effect, there were about 40,000 listings on Airbnb each night in New York City. New York City has 3 million available housing units, so that's a little over 1% of available housing was on Airbnb. But of that 1%, 90% of the listings were for people's full-time residences, where they lived. So again, you're talking about 0.1% of available housing in New York. You could theoretically make an argument that it's being taken off the market. So this idea that Airbnb is the primary driver or even a major driver of increases in rents is completely laughable, especially when you see de Blasio, the mayor of New York City, pushing more and more regulations on the housing market, which are only going to increase costs.
So, of course, we all want to see more affordable housing. This is a goal that we can all get behind. So even if it's might be unfortunate that there's been this short-term political alliance between the hotel industry, which, I mean, can anyone really imagine why they would actually care about affordable housing? Your business is not housing. Your business is short-term rentals. I mean, maybe you're worried that people are not going to come to New York and live in hotels for entire years at a time, but that's not what happens anyway. So that seems very political, the fact that the hotel industry has allied itself with pro-affordable housing people in New York as kind of a short-term thing. But of course, we all want to see affordable housing. So if the answer is not restricting Airbnb, right? If we've kind of debunked the notion that Airbnb is the cause of high rent, what could be done, right? Like us free market people, we don't want our answer to always be government shouldn't do anything, right? There should be a proactive solution, maybe things that can be done that would actually help the situation. So Jared, do you have any ideas on how, rather than cracking down on Airbnb, New York could actually do things that would help address the affordability crisis, which is a very real problem for middle and low income people trying to live in the most expensive city in the country, I guess not counting San Francisco?
Yeah, well, when you look at Airbnb users, I mean, expand the number of people who can rent on Airbnb. They make an average of $5,500 a year. That's money that can help keep you in your apartment. So rather than cracking down on people's ability to make money, now when they go out of town for the weekend, if they come down to DC to visit their friends, they can't rent out their apartments on Airbnb, or they risk up to a $7,500 fine. But on the larger scale, what we really need to do is look at zoning requirements in New York City, building permit requirements, review requirements, especially for environmental review. A Harvard study actually found that 56% of the cost of new construction can be attributed to regulation. So this is a massive burden that we're putting on people, and it's no wonder. I mean, New York's always going to be expensive. There's only so many places to live in Manhattan, even as you continue to build up. But the idea that it needs to be as expensive as it is today is partially a creation of government. It's not simply people wanting to live there. It's also restricting the supply of housing and making that housing more difficult to expand.
Yeah, and I worked in New York politics for about a year, and that was about as much as I could take of that. But they've got these bizarre arrangements between the real estate industry and, you know, government, and it really is a kiss the ring type situation. And, you know, builders will say, we'll build a giant, really expensive building and 20% of the units will be quote unquote affordable. And they measure that by basically taking median incomes in the zip code. It's this whole Byzantine situation. So the idea that there is a free market for housing in New York that has failed, no. The market for housing in New York resembles nothing like a free market. And there are a lot of center-left people who've written on this, like Matt Iglesias over at Vox. So this is not necessarily a partisan thing. This is just whether you think more government is going to solve a problem that was arguably created by government. Now let's talk about the hotel industry, right? Because we can't necessarily begrudge an industry that really thinks it's under attack and is going to die out, right? I mean, they're going to lash out and maybe it's not in the best way, but are they really trying to survive here? I mean, are hotels really on the verge of going out of business because of Airbnb? How big is this problem? And is it rational for lawmakers that have long been supported by the hotel industry, as corrupt as it might be, to go help their ally in a time of need?
Well, I think when you look at the numbers, the hotel industry arguably had its best year ever last year. So Airbnb, if it's cutting into hotels' profits, it's really not showing. Maybe long-term hotels are concerned about online platforms for short-term rentals. But right now, hotels are doing just fine, especially high-end hotels. Maybe, you know, your Best Westerns are worried about Airbnbs. But personally, and don't tell anyone this, but when I travel for only one night, I'll usually stay at a hotel because it's simpler. But if I go for a whole week or, you know, a few days, I'll go stay at Airbnb.
You're almost suggesting that there are differences between the products that might influence whether people use them, not just cost. So even though, as you've pointed out, a hotel in New York runs about $270 a night, whereas you can probably get an Airbnb for about $50, depending on the situation, there's reasons people choose one or the other, just like there's reasons why people might hail a cab versus taking an Uber. And part of the beauty of competition is consumer choice.
Yeah, and what's great is even looking at taxis, which are much more under threat from ride sharing than hotels are from short-term rentals, cabs, the number of rides has just increased. If you're looking at cabs plus Ubers, it's not that every Uber or Lyft ride is one less taxi ride. You're expanding that proverbial pie of options. And you see this especially with the short-term rental market. Whereas a few college students maybe couldn't take a weekend trip to New York before, now all of a sudden that's affordable. And it's about getting more people to be able to take advantage of these options. And as we've seen, Airbnb specifically, most of its rentals, I would say, are in areas where you're not going to find hotels. So bringing in people to new neighborhoods where they wouldn't have been before, that's something that really does benefit the local economy. It's tourist spending. That is free money.
So the hotel industry has gotten a lot of flack for this, obviously, because, you know, to a even a neutral observer might look at this and say, well, clearly the hotel industry, labor unions that work in the hotels, there's this long-standing political powerhouse there that is now cashing in on the years and years of influence that it has maintained. And one might wonder whether the criticism is fair, but am I right, and I saw this on Facebook first, that hotels are actually celebrating the New York law because it will allow them to raise prices? Is that actually true?
Well, I think what you're going to see it, where it's going to affect their prices the most are on nights like New Year's Eve, where a lot of people could decide to just sign up on Airbnb and alleviate some of the demand for places to stay that night. Now hotels are going to really be able to jack up the prices on certain nights. And I think this is funny that Cuomo's supporting this while his state attorney general has lambasted ride-sharing companies for charging more on times of high demand. Now he's allowing the hotels to, you know, quote-unquote price gouge when he's waged a war on ride-sharing companies doing pretty much the same thing. So.
Well, since you didn't answer it in my leading question, I'll go ahead and tell listeners we do have a quote from Mike Barnello, chief executive of the hotel chain LaSalle. And he said that the New York ban would, quote, be a big boost in the arm for the business. So that resulted in headlines like hotel CEO celebrating new ability to price gouge after the Airbnb ban. So, I mean, some of this criticism of the hotels, you could say it's gone too far, but when you're hearing statements like that, it's not exactly encouraging, and it kind of belies the notion that they care about affordability if their number one goal and reason for celebrating after this is to jack up prices even more than they already are.
Yeah, and in the New York Hotel Industries Trade Association, they said the same thing, that this will protect them. So it's very obvious what the effects of the law are going to be, and promoting affordable housing, that's not one of them. You're taking away an option that many New Yorkers use to be able to afford their housing. You're not promoting affordable housing by limiting Airbnb.
So we've heard a lot of crazy arguments like Airbnb is to blame for high rent, but there are some very sympathetic and legitimate concerns over Airbnb, like quality of life, right? These are people who, through no fault of their own, they now find themselves in a building with a bunch of people renting on Airbnb. And maybe, yes, you can say they can move, but it's not that simple. There are clearly some issues about noise and things like that. So is the nuisance argument a legitimate one, right? I mean, you hear stories of Airbnbs being rented out. There's a lot of foot traffic, a lot of tourists, a lot of people who don't necessarily know about the social norms of the building. They might not be respecting noise complaints, things like that. So what do you think about that nuisance argument? Is that something that is legit and that should be legislated?
It's a legitimate argument. And I saw a letter to the editor in the Wall Street Journal that covered exactly what you were just laying out about how a man was upset that he's had an infestation of Airbnb guests is what he called it. But what you see is that having the government get involved is really the lazy way out. And I don't think it's the right path to go forward. If you don't want Airbnb guests in your building, move to one of the many buildings that have limits on being able to rent out your apartment to short-term rentals. I know in the apartment I live right now, my landlord won't let me do short-term rentals. And if I was decided to do that, my neighbors could report me to my landlord. And if I have guests over who are very noisy, similarly, they could go and call the landlord, or they could call the city enforcement officers if they want to call 311 in New York and complain about a noisy neighbor. This is something that you can do. Existing nuisance law can take care of an annoying neighbor in the same way that it can take care of an annoying neighboring Airbnb host. So I think getting the government involved is something we don't need to do here. And there are other options that you can have for enforcement if there truly are problems. But I would say, looking at the numbers and the number of complaints, there's no reason to think that Airbnb guests cause any more problems than normal New Yorkers.
And of course, you have to balance that against the benefits, right? I mean, there's always going to be problems with any technology. But we like to say at Tech Freedom that the vast majority of the use of technology will be for good, and then there will be some that is for bad. But you have to do that cost-benefit analysis. And you have to weigh something like a quality of life complaint against money in the pockets of New Yorkers struggling to afford a city, right? That's a real thing that might be taken away from them. If you want to go away for the weekend or go hang out at your significant other's house for a weekend to save money, you're losing this right. You're losing a property right. So that has to, of course, be balanced against nuisance. That's an important calculation that we might not be seeing the government doing.
Yeah, and I think the nuisance, to just reiterate that, if there are neighbors throwing loud late night parties when they're staying at an Airbnb, there's a legitimate call to get the government involved in that one case by reporting a nuisance violation. But the argument I can't stand is that it's starting that Airbnb is changing the character of neighborhoods. And, I don't like when my neighbor a few blocks down, completely within his rights, not against his lease, not against the homeowners associations or anything, decides to use short-term rentals. Like, get over it. You don't have a right to have the neighborhood you want. Go move somewhere else and somewhere that prohibits short-term rentals if that's what you want. And that's a very common argument I've heard is, oh, my neighborhood's changing. I don't like it. I don't like all these people with suitcases. Well, that's your problem. That's not Airbnb problem. Airbnb's problems. That's not your neighbors who are renting out their rooms on short-term rentals problems. And that's not the government's problem.
It's a strong critique of NIMBYism from Jared Meyer here.
It is. The New York law is just lazy NIMBYism. I think that's the best way to summarize it that benefits the hotel industry.
Well, New Yorkers love saying, not in my backyard, that's for sure. There's another, we've talked about the merits of the regulation and whether it's good or bad and the hotels and the affordable housing and the quality of life and all that stuff. There's also another giant issue just hanging over this entire proceeding, and that's federal law. And that doesn't have to do with whether short-term rentals are good or bad. That has to do with free speech online. We've talked about this on the show before. We're not going to dive in today, but Section 230 of the 1996 Communications Decency Act, it is a safe harbor for platforms to publish the speech of others and not be held accountable. So you can imagine that Facebook and YouTube might not exist in their current form today if they could be sued for anything that their users did that's technically illegal, right? So there's a problem here with the Airbnb law, because it's maybe it's not 100% clear, but if they want to fine Airbnb at all, which this new law proposes to do, at least according to our legal analysis, and they're currently in negotiations with the company, the government, to try to avoid this lawsuit, that could be a violation of Section 230 if you're fining Airbnb because someone advertised on their platform. And you've got First Amendment concerns where the government criminalizes sharing your own home and then tries to criminalize speech about sharing your own home, right? Think about the First Amendment. It's kind of like an end run, right? You want to criminalize certain speech, so you criminalize the behavior that that speech is about. And that's a very troubling dynamic. So we should all be looking carefully at the free speech implications of home sharing, because we've seen this in other areas with Craigslist and Backpage and, you know, copyright and things like that. But short-term rentals seem to be the real ground zero for the debate over platform liability right now. So we'll probably have a follow-up episode on that. But Jared, any final thoughts before we close off today?
No, I just think reiterating that Section 230 is very important to keep in mind right here. I mean, there's no way we would have Twitter if they were held liable for everything Donald Trump said, for example. So I think in addition to the clear benefits that Airbnb has provided in New York, and in the face of these ridiculous claims that Airbnb is solely to blame for the high rental prices, it's pretty clear that the law really serves no purpose other than to help NIMBYers and to help the hotel industry.
Well, we'll leave it there. My guest has been Jared Meyer, research fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He's been writing about the New York situation. We'll link to an article or two of his in the show notes for today. Jared, thanks for joining.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Tech Freedom. Let us know what you think of the show. Send us an email at media@techfreedom.org. Find this podcast in the iTunes store, where you can please leave us a review, because it will help others find the show. Thanks for listening.
Policy Podcast is produced and distributed by Tech Freedom, a nonpartisan, nonprofit think tank in Washington, D.C. To learn more about our work, make a tax-deductible donation, or find other episodes, find us online at techfreedom.org.